I don't know how I'm going to die. And many of us don't know how we're going to die. But I tell you what, this is a way to go right here. I'm going to tell you what, this is the way to go. It says in verse 7, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim. He didn't need eyeglasses. He could see. And his natural force, nor his natural force abated. That gives the idea, the juices in his body, that all the juices in his body. So when we think about the juices, what do we think about? The blood, right? The heart. That his heart still pumped strong in every area of his body. And so Moses just went up. Now, can you imagine what it must have been like? Moses just goes up. He views the promised land. And then he dies.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will begin a new message titled, Prince Without a Body. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Prince Without a Body.
If you're opening your Bibles this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 34, a couple series that I'm contemplating in the fall, so we'll talk about that a little bit more. But the Lord laid this message on my heart while I was off, and it was just something that was burning in my spirit and really wanted to share it with the congregation this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 34, and we'll read all 12 verses. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the Negev, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zor. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, as did and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. As we come today, I want to look at this whole chapter, but focus on verse 5, where it says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And then verse 6, and he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab against Beth Peor, and no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And I want to speak to you on this subject, Prince Without a Body. Prince Without a Body. That Moses left all kind of prints on this earth, but he didn't leave a body. If you go to that next slide. Moses left fingerprints. He left footprints and he left blueprints, but he didn't leave a body. That's a powerful thought when you think about that. That nobody knows where the body of Moses is. But yet and still, his influence is felt long after he has left this earth. I don't know if you remember, but growing up, there was a radio program, and I'm probably dating myself, and younger people might not know this, but there was a radio program, and it was called The Shadow. And, you know, it was, the program would come on all the time, and it would say, "Who knows what evil lurks in the heart of men? The shadow knows." And this shadow was an individual who was basically invisible to man. And he was able to get inside the minds and get inside the hearts of men. And he was able to go out and fight crime and do great things and influence the world for good. And when you think about the shadow, basically, he was invisible. But he had a powerful effect. He had a powerful influence. And that's what we see with Moses. That there's no trace that Moses ever lived on this earth as far as his body is concerned. That even in the book of Jude, it said that there was an argument between the angels about where the body of Moses was at. So to this day, nobody knows where Moses' body lies. But even though he didn't leave a body, he left a powerful impact upon this world. In verse 1, we see that Moses is told by the Lord to go up to Mount Nebo. And this is one of the highest peaks in the range of Mount Pisgah. And Moses was able to view the promised land. Now, if you put that map up there, it's kind of small, so I thought it might show up a little bit bigger than that. But this map, basically, where Moses was, he was right here. That's where Mount Nebo was. Now, the amazing thing is that notice as you look at the text, all the land that he was able to see. It said unto Dan, which is right here, Gilead, which is up here. It said Naphtali, all right? It said unto the great sea, all this sea. It said all the land of Judah, the plain of Zorah, which is down here. So basically, now this is deep, all right? Now, notice this. Now here was Moses on Mount Nebo, right here. And God let him see all of this. Now, this is not a part of my message, but let me just say this. You know, I think we need to pray for Israel. And, you know, I know there's a big controversy about the land between the Palestinians and the Israelis. I understand all that's going on. But, you know, one day, eventually, Israel's going to get it all back. Now, you know, the wonderful thing, and again, this is not a part of my message. This is just a side note. There's no other nation in the history of the world. In 70 AD, the Romans came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and dispersed the Jews throughout the whole world. There's no other nation in the history of mankind that has been completely destroyed and became a nation again. 1948, the United Nations recognized Israel as a nation. In 1967, during the Six-Day War, the Israelis got back the city of Jerusalem. And so all I'm trying to say is, you know, I don't agree with everything that Israel does. You know, I know that they haven't, for the most part, they haven't recognized their Messiah. I understand that. But I believe that going back to Genesis chapter 12, where God says, "I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you." So I believe that there's something special in, first of all, when we as a people, when we as Christian people, when we pray for Israel, because look, we owe everything to Israel, right? We owe the Bible. You know, most of the people that wrote the Bible are Jewish. We owe our Messiah to the Jewish people. So, you know, God has a special place for the Jewish people. So we need to pray for them, and I believe that whatever way we can, and I'm not being political, so don't take this as a political message. We need to support them because, you know, God eventually is going to give it all back to them at some point. Might not be until the millennium, but they're going to get it back. And we will rule and reign with Christ. So let me say that and move on. All right. So now the thing about this right here, again, Moses is at Mount Nebo, and he's able to see all this. The natural eye couldn't see. You couldn't see that with the natural eye. How in the world can you look hundreds of miles with the natural eye? So God supernaturally gave Moses the ability. Notice what it says here in verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it to thy seed. I have caused thee, what? To see it. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes. That God let him see it with his eyes. And so Moses views it supernaturally. And then we go on to see that after viewing the land, I'll tell you what, saints. I don't know how I'm going to die, and many of us don't know how we're going to die. But I tell you what, this is a way to go right here. I'm going to tell you what, this is the way to go. It says in verse 7, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim. He didn't need eyeglasses. He could see, and his natural force nor his natural force abated. That gives the idea, the juices in his body, that all the juices in his body. So when we think about the juices, what do we think about? The blood, right? The heart. That his heart still pumped strong in every area of his body. And so Moses just went up. Now, can you imagine what it must have been like? Moses just goes up. He views the promised land. And then he dies. And the reason that he couldn't go in, because as they were traveling through the wilderness, the people were complaining about water, and so as people do. And so they came upon this rock, and God told Moses to go speak to the rock, and water would come out of it. But Moses, out of his unbelief and out of his anger with the people, he hits the rock twice. Now, the water came out of the rock, but at that point, God told him, he said, you will never enter into the promised land, that you will see it, but you're not going to enter in. And so we see here that God fulfills his promise to Moses by letting him see the promised land, but not enter into it. And notice in verse 8, now the normal time of mourning for somebody that died in Israel was 7 days. But notice that in verse 8, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. I think there's only one other person. It might be Jacob or Joseph that they mourned 30 days for. But Moses was special, and he did not leave a body. And so as we think about this thought, that you can't find a headstone, a gravestone, for Moses. And you know, when I know I have the opportunity to do funerals, and you know, we go to the cemetery, and it's amazing just some of the headstones that you see. I mean, especially if you go over to Homewood Cemetery, all of them, Allegheny, you know, you see some big ones, and you say, man, that must be a pretty important person that's buried there. And you know, there are other kinds, but you know, here Moses did not leave a headstone. Even if you go back into Jewish times, what did they have? They had sepulchers where people were buried. Moses had nothing. But Moses left a powerful testimony. See, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 in verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 in verse 1. Solomon says here, a good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. What he's saying here is that it's better to come to the end of your life and die with a good name than to be born in wealth and prosperity and riches and die in shame. And so Moses, we see, had no gravesite, had no tombstone, but he had a testimony. You know, there was a pastor in Philadelphia, and every year he would gather the students, the graduating class together, and he would address them. And he would say that you are graduating, and now you're going on to higher education, and you are going to earn a degree. He said, but you need to be more concerned about your testimony than whatever title that you get. That you are going to be educated, that you are going to go through a rigorous course of examination, and you are going to earn some degree, you are going to get some title, but you need to be more concerned about your testimony than your title. And then he referred to this passage in Ecclesiastes. He said, on the day that you were born, everybody laughed and applauded. And on the day that you die, everybody's going to mourn. He said, now, when you were born, everybody laughed and you cried. Because what happened? Doctor slapped you, right? Whoever it was. And you started crying. But everybody else was happy. Right? On the day that you die, everybody else is going to cry. But if you know the Lord, you're going to rejoice. You're going to be happy. And then he went on to say that, but if you lose your testimony on the day that you die, everybody will laugh and you will cry. That's deep. Because if you had a bad testimony and people are glad to see you leave this earth, then they're going to say, they might not say it out loud, but in their mind, they're going to think, I'm glad this person is gone. And you're going to lose your testimony. And we need to work on maintaining and keeping our testimony. And then the brother went on to say this. He said that Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had a title, but Moses had a testimony. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had a title, but Daniel had a testimony. Jezebel, the queen, had a title, but Elijah had a testimony. Herod, the king, had a title, but John the Baptist had a testimony. Nero, the king, had a title, but the Apostle Paul had a testimony. Pilate had a title, but Jesus Christ had a testimony and a title, being the Son of God. See, when you leave this earth with a good name, you'll not only have a testimony, but you'll have a title, the Son of God, a Son of God. And so as we examine the life of Moses, let's look back and see a couple things about what he left. The first thing, Moses left fingerprints. He left fingerprints. Now, look at verse 12. In the King James, it says this, and all that mighty hand, wow, in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel, in all his mighty hand. Now, look at this. Oh, this, look at this. Look back at verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. Fingerprints. Who has your fingerprint on their life. When Moses came out of Egypt, there were over 3 million Israelites that came up with him. And even though he didn't leave a tombstone, even though he didn't leave a grave, he left a fingerprint on just about each and every one of them. Whose life are you touching? Whose fingerprint is seen on your life? See, there's a sense in which every one of us leaves fingerprints on another person. We don't stay on this earth forever, but our fingerprints remain long after we leave. I would hope that as you look at the life of Bill Glaze, and you go back to Durango, Colorado, and you start dusting for some prints, that you see some people who has my print on their life. If you go to Lynchburg, Virginia, and you start dusting for some prints, that you will see some people. You know, my wife and I, we had the privilege before, you know, I was called to be a pastor or anything else. We taught a little Bible study on Friday night. And it was about, there was no more than about 6 to 10 people every Friday night. And, you know, I would teach the word. And after that, you know, they would have a little meal, some fried chicken and potato salad, collard greens. So I was excited. But every Friday night in the home, it wasn't in the church, it wasn't in the hall, it was in the home. Every Friday night, we were faithful to this Bible study. And we taught this Bible study. And you know, out of that Bible study came 3 pastors of churches. Just out of just being faithful to teach the Word of God. So if you go and you dust in Lynchburg, Virginia, you're going to see some prints of Bill and Angie Glaze, because we invested our lives in people long before God ever called me to preach, long before God ever called me to be a pastor. Just being led by God, leaving prints on somebody's life. Where are your prints being left? I like the story of John Getty. He was a Canadian missionary who went to the New Hebrides tribe, and he found a group of cannibals, and they were involved in violence and theft and cannibalism. And he ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. And he died and was buried. And they had a commemorative tablet on the island where he was at. And this is what it said. In memory of John Getty, when he landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. And when he left in 1872, there were no heathen. Fingerprint. Fingerprint. Touching the lives of other people. That your life is going to touch somebody's life. There's a poem that I have put up here. My life shall touch a dozen lives before the day is done. I will leave many fingerprints before the setting sun. This is my desire, this prayer I always pray. Lord, may my touch leave a beautiful print on someone else today. Where are you leaving your prints? Whose life have you made an impression on? A lasting impression on? You see, God has called us all. As I heard the song said, brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Prints Without a Body. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Prints Without a Body, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Prints Without a Body. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Prints Without a Body. Or you can call us at 877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.